on the open sea, so the expedition didn't get much farther. For the next 2 months, the ships had to drop anchor in a river. But at last the air lost its bite. The days grew so long that there were only 3 hours of darkness. On October 18th, Ferdinand gave orders to set sail, and 3 days later, the ships entered a blue-green bay. Above the rocky coast stood snow-capped mountains so high that clouds drifted around their peaks. They had come to a country we now call Chile. To his captains, the beautiful bay seemed a dead end. But Ferdinand had a hunch. He ordered 2 of his ships, the Concepcion and the San Antonio, to sail west to see where it led. But right after the 2 ships set out, a powerful storm struck. Wave after wave, some higher than the masts, smashed down. Ferdinand's own ship, the Trinidad, seemed about to go down. Crewmen on the Victoria were swept overboard. The Concepcion and the San Antonio seemed to have disappeared. Had they sunk? 2 days passed. Ferdinand was in despair. To have come this far only to fail. Then, on the 3rd day, a lookout suddenly started shouting. From the west raced 2 ships, the Concepcion and the San Antonio. To escape from the storm, they'd sailed from one bay into another, then another, like a chain, and they had discovered El Paso. Their discovery meant that there really was a way to sail around the tip of South America. If the expedition could make its way through the strait, then it could keep heading west, west to the Moluccas. On all 4 ships, men cheered with joy. They danced, they hugged, they jumped up and down, and then they prayed. As cannons were fired, Ferdinand bowed his head and made the sign of the cross. He named El Paso the Strait of All Saints. Now we call it the Strait of Magellan. However, along with the good news came bad news. The men who found the strait reported that it was narrow and full of dead-end turns. The journey through it would be long and hard. If the ships took a wrong turn, they could be lost for weeks. Ferdinand's captains told him it was best to stop now. The men were tired. Supplies were low. Claim the strait for the King of Spain, they advised, but don't go on. Ferdinand refused. To him, it was madness not to continue. They would sail through the strait and reach the sea, he cried, though we have nothing to eat but the leather wrapping from our masts. So into the strait they went, through the 3 bays. Granite walls, 1,000 feet high, hemmed them in on both sides. They came to a fork. Which way now? Ferdinand ordered the Concepcion and the San Antonio to go one way. His Trinidad and the Victoria would go the other way. A heavy mist lay over the Captain General's route. Thin rocks, sharp as nails, poked out of the water. Steering as carefully as possible, Ferdinand's ship and the Victoria sailed on for days. At last, pine mountains full of waterfalls came into view. Could the sea be close by? Ferdinand sent out a scouting party, and 3 days later, the scouts returned. They had reached the end of the strait. Ahead lay open water. Ferdinand began to cry. He didn't care who saw his tears. El Paso led to the sea. Across its waters lay the Moluccas. He had found the western route. Back he sailed to share the news with the Concepcion and the San Antonio. But only the Concepcion was there. There had been a mutiny aboard the San Antonio, and she was heading back to Spain. The news hit Ferdinand hard. The San Antonio was his biggest ship. Even more importantly, she carried the most supplies. With the San Antonio gone, there wouldn't be enough food. But Ferdinand would not accept defeat. He and the crew hunted and fished and stocked up on food. Then they sailed for the sea, past a place that blazed with light. It was as though 1,000 fires were burning. He named the place Tierra del Fuego, the land of fire. Today, we know the fires come from volcanoes. On November 28th, the ships were plowing through rough waters. Then, suddenly, they were in an endless blue ocean. This must be the sea that Balboa had spied 7 years before, the one he called the South Sea. It was so gentle, barely a ripple creased its surface. 38 days had passed since the ships entered El Paso. Now, 330 miles later, 3 ships had made it through. Surely, Ferdinand thought, the expedition wasn't more than 3 or 4 days away from the Moluccas. He had no idea how big this ocean was. The men poured out on deck to pray. Ferdinand gazed at the water and shouted, "May the ocean be always as calm and benevolent as it is today. In this hope, I name it El Mar Pacifico, the Pacific." If Ferdinand had realized what lay ahead, he would have chosen a different name. He was about to cross the largest ocean on Earth, one that stretched across almost 1/3 of the globe, its waters full of danger. Chapter 8, The Crossing. All through December, Ferdinand expected to spy the Moluccas. He went north.